And we're back. Pack your Spidey suits, or I guess in this case, leave it in your closet and leave it behind.
Does take it or not, Mike?
Get ready for your field trip. A special episode of Mike, Mike, and Oscar. Maybe a quick episode, maybe a half episode. We'll see how long we go. Famous last words as always. But this is Mike, Mike, and Oscar, and this is another trailer review as we're going through a surprise trailer that dropped on us all this morning, Tuesday morning, January 15th. It was supposed to come out sometime in November, then we thought December, and now it's finally here, and it's not even the full trailer. Spider-Man Far From Home, as the MCU takes its next chapter, what will be after Avengers Endgame, just so everyone knows. So we're going to talk about what spoilers might be included here in this discussion. But to start off, hi, I'm Mike One. This is co-host Also Mike.
Also Mike, yes. Captain Marvel will be released on March 8th. Avengers Endgame will be released on May 3rd. They strung us along with this trailer, Michael. We were planning just weeks ahead.
Yeah.
All those MMO weeklies, we were like, oh, we're going to have Far From Home as a centerpiece for that episode number 4 and MMOW, and we were banking on it, and then, okay, fine, they strung us along a week. It's just YouTube being kooky and everybody on the internet going crazy. And weeks later, we forgot about it. Last night, I heard the news that they were going to release it this morning, and we called an audible. We have a Beale Street OSP ready to record for you guys. We're going to get that to you later in the week, and we're kind of searching for a fourth episode this week anyway, and this fortuitously dropped on our heads. We love it, and we're going to talk about the Spider-Man Far From Home trailer, Michael.
So let's start off with some spoiler talk here. This obviously is taking place, like Mike just told you, it'll be after Captain Marvel, which comes out in March. It's also going to take place after Avengers Endgame, which comes out at the end of April. So what does that mean in terms of spoilers? Well, there's some stuff in this trailer that kind of references, well, definitely also answers some questions about what happened at the end of Avengers Infinity War. So, if you have not seen that movie, be warned, be prepared. We're going to talk openly about some of the implications about what happened at the end of Infinity War. But again, $1 zillion was made from that movie, so I think everyone by this point has seen it, and if you haven't, you've probably accidentally bumped into the spoilers of that online at this point anyway.
Probably. If you've seen a GIF,
right,
you don't necessarily know what it means, but yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about this trailer in the context of Infinity War. So Michael, Captain Fury and Peter Parker are alive.
Yeah, going to be tough to pull off a Spider-Man movie without Peter Parker in the MCU.
Yeah, I mean, they're taking National Lampoon's MCU European Vacation, which is brilliant. Of course I want to see all of my friends from my fantasy life of having friends in high school.
Of course.
Going on a European vacation. Does he take the spider suit or not? I'm so happy about this. All I can wish for is Clark Griswold to have a cameo, and I'll be thoroughly happy. But otherwise, Michael, what do you think of the premise here?
I think it's interesting. I also think they do enough to leave unanswered questions, because you're right. This is going to be the European vacation. That's what Far From Home means.
Mm-hmm.
There's this whole morality play, this battle of what it is to be yourself. Do I leave the spider suit behind? Do I take it with me? Because my class is going over to Europe. I just want to be a kid enjoying life.
Pack your suit. I just want to go on my trip with my friends.
I think it's a smart idea to kind of isolate Peter Parker in that way.
Sure.
And that's kind of how they do it. It does leave the unanswered question of just how the hell is both he and Nick Fury here after what happened in Avengers Infinity War.
Now, we're not following all the blogs. As far as I was concerned, Far From Home could have meant he was still on outer space after Infinity War. It could have meant, you know, he was in the quantum realm with all the other people who got raptured by
by
the Holy Ghost or whatever that Thanos thing was. And it could have been anything. I did not know it meant, all right, the class took a trip in the first movie. This
going
is a sequel.
Going to Europe, yeah.
Now we're going to Europe. It's a bigger trip, and it's going to be more fun, and these kids are going to mix it up some more. So I love this trailer from start to finish, Mike. I guess we'll begin to break it down. Right off the bat, we get Aunt May and Happy kind of having a flirtation moment after Aunt May does a Spider-Man little presentation there or whatever. I don't know what that is.
So there's a couple things right away from that little interaction that tips you off to some things. One, Aunt May knows who Spider-Man is.
At the end of Homecoming. Yeah,
she knows Peter Parker and Spider-Man are one and the same. And now she's kind of become his agent or manager, I guess.
And she's cool with it.
Right. She's okay with it, so which is odd.
She was screaming at him at the end of the last movie. And now she's cool with it and on the team. Like you said, she's his PR director.
Basically his publicist. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's the face of the whatever the presentation
Spider-Man
is.
Inc. Yeah. Spider-Man okay. Inc. Okay. And then we have the obvious, the love story that's going to play out. This flirtation between Happy Hogan and Aunt May.
I'm giddy.
Very silly.
What
very
just
funny.
Happened, Michael?
Yeah, that, I love that quote.
What just happened?
Hear my Tom Holland there. That was very funny. Did you notice, though, the giant check that Happy Hogan wields in that scene?
No.
Did you see who signed it?
No.
It's signed by Pepper Potts.
Oh.
Okay. It's
nice.
From the Stark Foundation. It's signed by Pepper Potts. It's not signed by Tony.
So that's
so. What are the implications here?
Whoa.
Right? Now we know Pepper Potts.
I knew there was a reason we did this today. I knew it. Yes, let's go.
We know that Pepper Potts is in charge of the Stark business side anyway.
True.
So it may necessarily be nothing. It may be a red herring.
We don't know if she was snapped, number one,
sure,
after the last movie, but it's kind of regardless, we have the fact that the other snapped people can come back. So that doesn't tell us whether or not we were worried about Gwyneth Paltrow there, but it does make us worry about Tony Stark, Michael. Does he survive Endgame?
Yeah, and he's not in this trailer at all. There's no reference to him, no reference to Mr. Stark. There's no Iron Man sighting. He was a very big part of the first Spider-Man movie.
Now, what if Gwyneth Paltrow goes off mourning Tony? She's just signing checks, and basically she reboots Great Expectations, the Ethan Hawke drama, which I happened upon the other day on TV and watched most of. Does that mean anything to anybody?
I don't have an answer for that, that hypothesis.
She meets a boy named Pip. We have a drama. Robert De Niro looks gross. Michael, we have the Ramones against as the soundtrack
great
for this
soundtrack
trailer.
Choice, yep.
I Want to Be Sedated, going back to the original, Blitzkrieg Bop was the original trailer for the first movie.
Yeah, and you got to imagine that sedation at some point, or wanting that feeling of isolation or loneliness or being taken out of reality is going to come into play.
It's so New York. Right. It just works so well. I love that song in general. I love the Ramones in general. Great characterization moments. There's little things. There's big things. Tony Parker is a point guard for the Spurs.
Peter He's on the Parker. Hornets now, and he actually just had his coming back. He just had his first
one. Yeah.
Yeah, it's never either here nor there.
Frenchman, though, European vacation.
Sure,
yes.
There you go.
Anyway, I pulled it together. We have so many great characterization moments with Peter Parker. He's packing for the trip, and he's smelling the socks that he pulls from under his bed to see if he can pack them in his suitcase.
Yeah, it's what the MCU has done best with Peter Parker that even Sony didn't fully encapture, is that this kid's a kid.
He's a kid.
Right? This is what he's living in New York.
And
he's just a little teenager. He's in over his head with the superhero stuff.
Michael, he's web-slinging through New York City in a gorgeous shot, and he's looking at his phone the entire time while he's web-slinging.
Yep. Taking some selfies. Why not?
His passport photo is hilarious. It reminded me of old school's Will Ferrell's wedding photograph, where he's just like, oh, he definitely got him at
Looks
the wrong
out
moment.
Out of his gore, yeah.
But we also get conflict and drama. I just want to go to Europe with my friends. Does he take the suit? Does he not take the suit? Like I mentioned, Europe does not need a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man voiceover into the class trip montage in Venice.
I liked, you have it written down here too, it's one of my highlights. I like Zendaya's been an awesome character.
Yes.
And she has more of the smart
aleck. Do you think she knows that he's Spider-Man?
No. I don't think so. I don't think she
does.
That
could be a lot for her character, though, that she knows he's
Spider-Man.
Oh,
sure, yeah. I just think she's the smart alecky, independent, you know, sidekick that's going to end up playing a pivotal role somewhere down the line.
God.
And even if she does find out, I don't think it's going to affect her, because I think she's so just in her own world and just strong by on her own.
I would love it so much if she knew all along, and then when he does a big debut, like he could do a big thing where he's like, I'm in love with her, I gotta tell her, and boom boom boom, I'm gonna do this big reveal, and she's like, yeah, I knew all along.
Yeah, but wouldn't it be better if she was like, her reaction was like, oh, cool.
Either one of those, but I will laugh heartily either way. But we do have the line to Zendaya.
You look really pretty.
And therefore, I have value.
I love that. He's so shut.
No, that's not.
But that's a play on all of the, you know, obviously some real gender controversy that's been swirling throughout the last 10 years that we're all happy is finally starting to evolve a little bit. And then she goes, I'm messing with you.
You look pretty too.
To kind of play over the top of that. It's funny. It works.
Great, it's substantive.
Mm-hmm. We have Ned walking through the room that they have, the hotel room, and Ned is like doing some fun best friend stuff with Peter's like, you know, you're in love with her. Oh my God, this is so exciting. And that's fun. You know, I get jitters thinking about, all right, we got it. We're going to have a love story between him and Zendaya, Peter and Zendaya. And Ned, of course, drops the line. It reminds me of when I first found love. I had just finished my third cobbler and I'm tied in it. Boom, dart into the neck.
You got a freaking dart in your neck.
You got a dart in your neck. And Nick Fury shows up, Michael.
Yes, he's back.
And he's great.
He's back from his little side quest of going wherever. And he had, nice to meet you, Spider-Man. Nice to meet you finally. We have
so
to talk.
So nice to finally meet you, Spider-Man. I wanted him to say motherfucker so bad. He doesn't have to there. I get it. That's fine. But he does show us that he's okay after the endgame, which
very
is
very reminiscent
awesome.
Of the time, first time he crossed paths with Tony Stark in the end of Iron Man 1 there. I wonder if he's going to be the bearer of bad news, if he's going to fill Spider-Man in, if something happened, there's some kind of disconnect between everyone else that disappeared and Nick Fury disappearing and coming back.
Yeah, the major takeaway of this trailer is what the hell happened to Tony Stark. And it's ingenious the way they work this in because, of course, Tony Stark was the mentor character for Peter Parker in Homecoming. Does Nick Fury have to take over that mantle as Tony Stark just hung up his suit? And does he give his suit to somebody else? Is he trying to give his suit to somebody else? We've seen a lot of scuttlebutt that that's going to be perhaps Letitia Wright or another Marvel character becoming the new Iron Man. Well, it would be a great choice for that. What the hell happened to Tony Stark is a huge question.
Sure, absolutely. It kind of pervades all throughout because if all these people are back, then why isn't Tony? Why isn't Tony seen anywhere? And he was such a big part of the first Spider-Man movie, and what's happening?
And then we have Spider-Man saying, I think Nick Fury just hijacked our summer vacation, which is a great line. So who is that? These are elementals, I guess, but I thought it was Sandman, but we have a water guy, we have an earth guy, we have a fire guy, a lightning guy.
IGN did a lot of work on this. They had an article that I read. So apparently there's a group of four elementals that debuted in the Marvel comics but really haven't been in, they've only been in a handful of Marvel comics at all and haven't really been heard from since the 70s. So I think just based on what we saw in this trailer, and they also theorize this, that this is kind of, they're taking these four and they're going to be the antagonists, or maybe at least to start, because there's a two different sides of like introductory characters here, right? There's the elementals,
and we see glimpses of them,
and Hydro Man, who is in and of himself his own character, may be the water elemental. He's not in the comics apparently.
Is J.B. Smoove one of the elementals?
I was wondering that too, because I saw his name on the IMDb. I was wondering the
He's credited, but he doesn't have a character name.
And can't you see him being the voiceover to like woohoo, the water rushing through?
I would love it. Yeah. I'm thrilled.
I saw that as well. So Hydro Man is in the comics. He's not one of the elementals. There's a elemental named Hydro, and IGN is theorizing that maybe Hydro Man will be the leader of the elementals, and he replaces Hydro, and so it's the four elementals there. Now, the other part of this, the other character that's introduced in this, is the long-rumored and much-anticipated Jake Gyllenhaal role as Mysterio.
I nerded out to this because
absolutely.
I was a little worried that he had, you see it's Jake Gyllenhaal in like a Doctor Strange getup,
right?
And he's like,
you don't want any part of this.
And it seems like he is fighting the good fight in this scene against
He seems like a cohort.
And then he's on like this magic carpet. I don't know how he works. He's in magic carpet with a fishbowl head. And we see him kind of from the profile shot firing his green mist.
Fighting what looks like Hydro Man.
Whatever Macaulay Culkin had, Kevin McAllister had in the Home Alone 2 movie, that silly string stuff.
Yes.
That green goop. That's what Mysterio is firing at the sticky bandits that are elementals, Michael.
So... Sure. No, two things about Jake Gyllenhaal's character. One, the suit looks amazing.
Cool.
And I was very pleased and excited when we saw the fishbowl head, because that's all you want out of Mysterio, especially if you grew up in the Spider-Man cartoons. Right. That Mysterio is just known by that fishbowl head, and to have that little glimpse of him, showing him that they gave him the full Mysterio treatment, that was awesome. Two, the other part, and the biggest part of this for me, he's a good guy in this trailer. That can't last. Mysterio has to be the bad guy, right? Because he's part of the Sinister Six later on. He's this big collusion of all these bad guys that Spidey's fought that are one time gonna gang up with each other. That might take place in the Sony Spidey universe. I don't know. But Mysterio, at least to my knowledge, has never been portrayed as a good guy. So I wonder what's going to happen in this movie to have him go from fighting the Elementals to eventually, you would think, fighting Peter Parker.
Turning into the face of antagonism right at the end of the movie. It makes total sense. They're bringing another A-lister into this franchise. We had Michael Keaton in the last movie. It would be very successful for them to start this movie out with him being good and then turning bad. That would be evolved for the franchise a little bit. And for the MCU in general, we don't just get a bad guy right off the bat. Well, look, I mean, at the MCU, they've hidden the ball with some of their villains in the past, and that's worked to a lot of success.
Jeff Bridges was a good guy, was a partner of Tony Stark's back there in one of the first Iron Men.
And we've had multiple villains now. Just, we don't know they're a villain at the beginning of the movie. They can even come and, you know, have some funny lines at the for their first introduction. So, of course, Mysterio probably turns into a bad guy here. To have Jake Gyllenhaal behind it, that's awesome. And I think he can pull it off. I mean, he's a good enough actor to pull it off.
Without question.
We also get the fact that all of Spider-Man's friends are, like, idolizing Mysterio. It's like he is a combination of...
It's like Iron Man and Thor rolled into one.
Like that kid at the end there, that's Peter Parker's antagonist.
So yeah, Flash is Peter's antagonist, and Flash goes to surprise us all.
He's no Spider-Man.
And they're like,
what is it with you and Spider-Man?
And then Flash goes, he looks out for the neighborhood, has a dope suit, and I really respect him. And then, of course, just simple irony, simple joke construction. He goes,
sup, dickwad?
Right, he turns to Peter Parker. That was good.
That was perfect.
That made me laugh.
I laughed out loud like four or five times during this trailer. It was excellent.
I also wonder if it's going to be like a coming-of-age story to work more about how Peter Parker is a teen and doesn't, you know, can't be left to his own devices, needs to learn so much stuff along the way. Maybe there's a part where Nick Fury's warning him against Mysterio, don't trust Mysterio, and then Peter's got to learn for himself that Mysterio is the bad. There's a billion different directions that this could go in. It seems like it's in good hands. I'm very, very excited to see Jake Gyllenhaal pull it off. I love Jake Gyllenhaal as an actor, and I think he's going to shine in this role, certainly. There's a lot of little things, too, in this trailer that kind of surprised or worried me or gave me Vietnam-level flashbacks to PTSD.
Oh, no.
There's a one shot of, like, Spider-Man Black, where he's in that, like, black costume.
Well, did he
that...
take his suit? Like, if he didn't take his suit, maybe Nick Fury brings his suit to
maybe,
him?
Maybe, but all it did to me, it's not the symbiote. Like, it's not supposed to be like it was, but this is all I thought of when I saw Spider-Man Black. It's like, oh, God, remember Sam Raimi's Spider-Man 3?
True.
When he had the black suit, and I was like, no, dear God, please, no.
What if there's yet another joke where he dances in the black suit?
Oh, no, please, God.
But it could be a meta
they
one.
They pulled it off like they did in Spider-Verse. That was funny. I just don't need to see that again.
I'm just so happy with what the MCU, what Marvel Studios is doing with this. I'm so happy what Amy Pascal and Sony have done with this. It seems like this is a collaboration, and Amy Pascal being on the top of the mountain again with these blockbuster hits, an ingenious deal she made at the end of her run with Sony to continue producing Spider-Man movies, like you said in a previous episode. I'm so psyched.
So let's end on that, what the deal is. To my knowledge, I was trying to find information before we started here, but to my knowledge, when the deal was signed to get Spider-Man as part of the MCU, I think it was a 6-picture deal. They were allowed to do a couple on his own, like a trilogy of solo films, and he was allowed to appear in a couple others. He had his debut in Civil War. He was in Infinity War, obviously. We have these two films. Was he in anything else?
No.
So there's just those four films
I think it's just those four.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think it was a 6-picture deal to start. So that means he's got a little more wiggle room. He's probably going to be in Endgame. So maybe there's one more picture coming out with Spider-Man. And maybe it's going to be a third solo film.
My guess is that they planned a trilogy.
I would assume so as well.
And he goes to college in the third movie, or he's finishing up high school. He's got to go to college because they can't age it down. Like, I was psyched that they shot this thing from July to October of 2018. I think that was smart because the kids are at that age.
Right.
Let's shoot. They're just like the Stranger Things. We got to pump these out quickly because the kids are at that age. If we age it too far, we're all worried that they're going to have low voices and trying to be, you know, riding around on their bicycles. It's not really that fun.
The knees
anymore.
Are too high. Yeah, that does make a lot of sense. That's a good point. I just wonder what's the fallout from this is going to be. Are we going to extend this deal to keep Spider-Man as part of the MCU? Is Tom Holland going to keep the role and go when the rights revert back to Sony at the end of this? Is Marvel just going to wipe their hands of it and let Sony have the property free and clear? Is Tom Holland going to be Spider-Man, and is Spider-Man going to enter the Venom universe that's kind of being expanded upon with the introduction of some other baddies that we saw in the Venom movie, despite on how the critics treated that movie? It did well at the box office and a lot of audience liked it.
Sony would be super smart if they work through the MCU here with these movies, and rather than rebooting it, they have Tom Holland's Spider-Man go against Venom and go against the Sinister Six in their own spinoff there, have the Spider-Verse come into play perhaps, and actually, you know, make them real life characters, and then make jokes about, oh my God, this is really something to look at, you know, because this is not cartoon anymore. And,
well, on the business side of things,
I won't be the writer of that movie. Don't worry.
Scene one.
Oh, interior. My God, this is real life instead of cartoons.
Interior, a room.
There's a real room.
There's interesting stuff on the business side because we have the Spider-Man contract, the rights of the film rights of Spider-Man. Do they stay with Marvel? Does Marvel extend that, try to extend it with Sony? Does Sony turn them down? Does Sony let them do it? Does Sony take Tom Holland back? Then there's the all thought.
Can they take Tom Holland back?
Sure. That's interesting,
or
too.
Or if it's, you know, co-owned, do they now have to reboot it? And then I'm worried because Andrew Garfield comes back.
His days are done, I think.
Maybe Jake Johnson.
Yeah, there you go. What happens with Marvel from here on out? Because they haven't released that Phase 5 thing yet.
I want a fat Jake Johnson in real life. A fat Jake Johnson, I'm sorry to cut you off, in real life, being the next real life Spider-Man, fighting
a Whataburger.
A Whataburger, and then who's it, the Venom guy? Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
Tom Hardy.
He's swinging through the ropes, but the web can't sustain his weight, so it just snaps. Yeah, it'd be like us if we were Spider-Man.
Oh, I would be so happy. Do that, Amy Pascal.
But the MCU also has to show what's next for Phase 5. Kevin Feige's been kind of very tongue-in-cheek about revealing what's next and what's coming up because he wants to get through the endgame portion of the Phase 4 first. That also speaks to the marketing about this film. Right. So I'm surprised this one came out because they do show you that Tom Holland's here and that Nick Fury's here. They do give that away. I think once Endgame is done, though, we're going to see a real trailer for this. And that's why this one's been called a teaser trailer online, because I think there's stuff that they're still hiding that they can't give away yet.
So it's interesting to me because Game of Thrones kind of did something like this where a character, did he die, did he not? And they kind of reassured us in a way. And I think this is what this trailer's doing. We're being reassured. Now, all the comic book readers, for, you know, the generation of those fans, they know how Infinity War ends. They know that
right.
It doesn't necessarily kill every single superhero we ever loved, mm-hmm. right? Otherwise, we would have known about that. We don't read the comics. We haven't read that comic. But we would have known if Marvel and Stan Lee killed every single lovable comic book character after the snap and then rebooted them all. We would know that by now, right?
Well, there are multiple timelines, but yes, if there was like a Red Wedding-esque type thing,
we
would know.
Definitely. That would have been cemented in the zeitgeist.
Yes.
It would have been a movie that would have been made 20 years ago and probably reduxed into making them all live. So I don't know. But I do love all the questions this trailer is making us ask. I think that they're doing a great job with the characterization moments. It's funny. The action looks awesome. We got a premise that I'm buying into as something that's familiar and yet something new. There's a love story. There's two love stories. Mike, I'm in.
Yeah, can't wait. I'm very excited for this. And maybe it's time for Avengers Endgame to leak something out too, because
give us something else. Yeah, it was the last one more
taste than what we just got there. Now it's your move, Avengers Endgame, because I'm very excited for Far From Home. I want to see what happens. Let's transition here. There was one more Marvel trailer that we want to talk about and touch on here.
Grunge is a good look for you.
Did you have a rough day, Agent Fury?
We're a little late on this, but because this opportunity came along with Far From Home, we want to hit on Captain Marvel's Trailer 3, which is the winner of my Most Improved Trailer Trophy Award, Michael, because now we actually get some personality from Carol Danvers.
Yes, yes. It's a more humane or more personable version of the character, because we didn't really see much about her outside of kind of her growing up and flashbacks there in the first one.
She's cracking jokes. She's not that stoic robot or whatever she is, emotionless hero that we got in the first few trailers. Even though she did punch an old lady, which was kind of edgy and cool.
Is the old lady fight going to win Fight of the Year in 2019?
I hope so. I hope that old lady does the multiple.
Like your Thanos, bashes. The new Fast and Furious movie coming out, Spider-Man's coming out,
Mission
Lion
Impossible.
King. No, Henry none of it Cavill. Matters. We got Carol, the girl from Room, and Grandma going at it on the bus.
On the bus, and Grandma was flipping like crazy.
Going nuts. She's like a lucha libre.
Awesome. It was awesome in both trailers. And both trailers have been awesome, let's say. All right, because the action's been great. We gushed over the helmet. We gushed over the space battle at the end of the last one. But in the same way that Spider-Man here characterized Peter Parker's personality in multiple little Easter eggs and multiple little gestures, we got none of that with Captain Marvel, or maybe bare minimum of that. Now we get some straight up edited in one shots of her blowing the hair out of her face. We get the
photon blast
at the bar, which is a funny joke. And then she's explaining to Samuel Jackson that
a scroll cannot do that.
So Marvel doesn't like giving away full headshots of their heroes or their villains. Like even in this one, so we have the Mysterio glimpse. Yeah, we get Jake Gyllenhaal. We only see a glimpse of the fishbowl. Captain Marvel here, we get Brie Larson. We only see a glimpse of her wearing that helmet with the mohawk type thing.
Yeah, I guess in second and third trailers, though, they tend to open up the world and give us...
There is a straight-on shot of her in the full Captain Marvel garb without the headgear at all. Yeah,
here's what I worry about, though. If there's not enough characterization, if they're kind of hiding... I'm worried about this movie. I'm still worried about it, that there's enough... funny stuff, that there's enough there, because are they having to show us the spectacle in advance to sell this movie rather than like Spider-Man, where you only get glimpses of the spectacle? Here you're lingering in the spectacle, because I do think showing her spinning in space and shooting everything up is the most awesome thing I've ever seen, but is that the most awesome thing we will see in the movie? I worry about that.
Anna Boden and Ryan Fleck are the two directors. They did Half Nelson, Sugar, kind of a funny story, so there's not really that superhero, that big battle scene background for them to draw on. But you would think, with how involved and in touch Marvel Studios has been with every property in the MCU.
They've nailed everyone.
Yeah,
Most of them.
I can't imagine they let this. And this is probably the most important one. It's your first female-led one.
Yeah.
It's the one that's going to tie in the two Avengers movies that are going to probably answer
high
a lot
stakes,
of questions.
No question.
So I think I can't imagine they let this one fall by the wayside.
Think about it, Michael. If this flops, not that it'll flop, but if it doesn't do great, it's right before Avengers Endgame.
Sure.
And that's a problem.
Yeah. And that's why I have...
Cost
if this
them
was a
money.
DC movie, I would share your concerns greatly, but I think I just cannot possibly fathom a world in which Marvel drops the ball at this point. Kevin Feige says, oh, we screwed up, I'm sorry, but hey, maybe go see Endgame anyway.
Even though, Michael, the bottom line with these trailers, these Captain Marvel trailers, they're cool. Like, when she's fighting Jude Law, and he's like...
Control it.
She's got that fire fist. I get hyped for that. Look, it's awesome. That space fight was awesome. When we saw trailer 2, it's awesome now. But again, I like that the fact that she's heckling the hat that Nick Fury brings out.
Does announcing your identity on clothing help with the covert part of your job?
And then he goes back at her or whatever he says.
Said the space soldier who was wearing a rubber suit.
But you know, it's an elaborate premise for a joke. I mean, we've said longer and dumber.
Yes,
but it's not hilarious. So I'm a little worried about the comedy in this movie. Is there going to be as much comedy? Half Nelson is like the unfunniest movie in the history of mankind, and we don't know if these guys are going to play like the Russo brothers played in terms of their transition from hardcore drama, I mean, to this. Brie Larson has done little indie movies, and kind of the big movies she's done hasn't really worked in terms of the Oscar grab dramas last year, that movie with Woody Harrelson, whatever the fuck that was called, forgot it already. Obviously obviously Room being a small indie film that burst her onto the scene as an Academy Award winner.
I'll thank you never to question Brie Larson's talents again in my presence. She's perfect.
No,
I get your good, point. You're right.
But
you're right.
Is she an action hero with that charisma?
But
we don't know
you
yet.
Say the same about Robert Downey Jr. in 2007?
Robert Downey Jr. is just oozing charisma in every single... I just watched Back to School again, Michael, flipping through the channels. And I think it was on Amazon, actually. Someone was watching it, and I came in, and he's, you know, hilarious, that whole movie. He's ridiculous, that whole movie, but he's as much of a character actor as he is a movie star, and he's got movie star charisma even in his character actor parts. So I do worry. I do worry that she can pull this off.
It's fair. We haven't seen it. You're right. It's fair. Look, I'm confident in it.
Before the first trailer of Captain Marvel, where we kind of got sidetracked by the fact that she punched the old lady. Okay, that's crazy. You know, those are the big takeaway. The second trailer was bad, but yeah, it was awesome, right? It was bad in terms of characterization, and I'm comparing all the Marvel trailers, and there's no characterization here, and there's nothing funny. And I was getting worried at that last trailer. I'm a little less worried now, but the jokes aren't playing that well. Are they saving all the best jokes? Do they have like a Terminator story for her? Where she's just like the stoic person.
The straight-laced.
Yeah, and she's getting a lot of deadpan comedy going on.
I could see that for sure.
I hope so, too.
But maybe also, there are high stakes in this movie with this plot. It has to tie together the two biggest movies in this 10-year odyssey, right? So maybe it's not a lot of room for jokes.
It's just, it would go against Marvel's formula.
It would. It would,
really
no doubt.
It really would. So I hope all of my concerns are unfounded, and we go into this movie and we love it. We will cover the hell out of these MCU movies for the rest of the year. You're with us for the Oscar races, but we've done an entire MCU series of reviews. We covered Black Panther with a two-part OSP at the beginning of this year. Ant-Man, we even covered the Twisted Sister or Distant Cousin, Deadpool 2, Michael. We covered all these superhero movies whenever we can because we love them, and as a year-round movie podcast, whether it's Oscar stuff or not, we love covering these movies, and we're gonna be all over Captain Marvel in March. We're gonna be all over Avengers Endgame in May, and of course Spider-Man Far From Home in July.
Gun to your head, which bad guy are you more excited to see on screen, Jude Law or Jake Gyllenhaal, if assuming he turns into a bad guy?
Jude Law is a bad guy as far as I'm concerned.
In real life, just as a human being.
Evil Pope Death right. Gazers. I want that to be their title. Print the t-shirts, please. I'm excited to see Jake Gyllenhaal. I mean, think about Nightcrawler and after that Velvet Buzzsaw trailer where he's got that weird haircut.
I can't wait to see Jake Gyllenhaal.
He's got that No Country for Old Men haircut and that modern art piece. And I'm like, what the fuck? This guy is scaring me.
Yeah.
And then the art comes to life, and I'm really scared.
Maybe taking the mantle from what Philip Seymour Hoffman left behind as that just over-the-top character actor type person that's just bonkers bizarre and plays it so well. I'm very excited to see him. Yeah, I echo your sentiments, what you said. We're going to be on top of all of it. We want to know your thoughts, obviously, about what you thought of either or both of these trailers, Spider-Man Far From Home being the one that kind of is taking the internet by storm. By the time this one comes out, you'll probably have millions of views already on his YouTube page. But if you haven't seen it yet, go see it. We want to know what you think about our takes and what your takes are, obviously. Reach out to us, Mike and Oscar on Facebook, Mike and Oscar on Instagram, MM and Oscar on the Twitter machine, Mike and Oscar at gmail.com. And on Reddit, we're available everywhere. You hear podcasts, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, etc., etc., TuneIn, whatever. If you type in Mike and Oscar, you will see our smiling cartoon faces and our red carpet bests smiling back and waving at you. And on this day, we're reviewing the pieces of the MCU that are forthcoming in 2019. Michael, what are your final words of wisdom right now?
The marketing of these movies has been brilliant because at least for Avengers and for Spider-Man, because we have the beginning movie of the entire saga, the entire cinematic universe rested on Robert Downey Jr. And the trailer for Avengers Endgame started with Robert Downey Jr. What the hell happens to him? And now this trailer, which is, I think it's smart releasing it after the Avengers Endgame trailer. Now this trailer, the biggest takeaway is what the hell happened to Robert Downey Jr. and Tony Stark?
Fair point. Can't wait to get these questions answered and look forward to what the MCU has in store in the coming months, guys. Reality sucks. Keep watching movies with us. We will check you out next time.
Yeah, Disney is pretty smart. See you.